Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
It's Monday on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Sports and more until 4. Good to see Andrew Downs smiling behind the glass. That means it's a happy Monday, I guess. And Andy Fails joining us here wearing a Cardinals shirt, which is that's a real fan the day before the World Series without the Cardinals begins. I'm Keith Murphy. We're glad to have you with us. And it was another fun weekend for most people. Not every team won. Don't know who you're an NFL fan of, but Iowa State had the weekend off. Iowa looked great. Northern Iowa beat South Dakota State. Drake rolled. There were some good times this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
See me throwing Drake for you, Andy?
I feel like he's just for you. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that bone. People right now are just kind of rolling into these Mondays with a head of steam, right? I mean, you look excited when you get up and know that you get to go talk to your friends at work and maybe competitors at work about football.
We're reminded that there are many beautiful Nebraska fans in the state of Iowa, and even they had a win to cheer.
Even Nebraska can win from time to time.
And Nebraska hadn't won, you may recall, since last October. So
that's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's almost a year.
It's still October.
The previous October, not 2016, 2017.
Wait, Nebraska football?
Right.
Yeah, they hadn't won in a year.
In a year?
Almost.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But they've won now. Well, and Bethune-Cookman coming up.
That's a win streak right there.
Yeah, right.
Had a Nebraska fan remind me today, Nebraska's about to win second game. How made Kirk Ferentz win his first year at Iowa?
One.
So there it's you true. Go. So Scott Frost about to pass Kirk Ferentz with that win over Bethune-Cookman.
How many times do we have to explain it?
It's not a competition. More than you can imagine. Yeah, no, that's not getting through.
We are just enjoying their misery.
Also, Nebraska fans' favorite diss on Iowa is that we will stick with a coach for 20 years without a national title, and yet they will then compare, well, Scott Frost, look, he's doing what Kirk Ferentz did. Yeah, but you don't like what Kirk Ferentz has done.
Yeah, right.
That's the whole point. You've switched coaches 7 times. Right. Since Ferentz was hired.
You'd have fired him twice that first season.
Right.
And by the way, that's not just Nebraska fans. How's our man Chris Hassel feeling about those days he thought Kirk Ferentz needed to be replaced with Brett Bielema or Mike Stoops or I don't know, name one of the coaches that
I
came out.
I think he probably is glad that things are the way they are this year. I think he's enjoying this football season a lot.
He's far from alone there too, by the way. It was a loud drumbeat. It was many fans.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And that is not the first time that's happened.
No. No.
This is not the first athletic director to have his patience with Kirk Ferentz praised.
And it does. There is a reason many coaches move on between 5 and 10 years. They feel like you get to a point where no matter what you do, you can't keep raising the bar. So sooner or later, fans are going to want that next rung on the ladder. And it's hard to get there when they're already used to you. They want something new. They want change. Mm-hmm. They want the new face. They want the new hope. And that's why people, places, institutions like Nebraska often do change coaches again and again and again. Iowa hasn't done that, and it has worked out. But fans do go through these spells where they're like, yeah, we want the new thing. We want something new and exciting.
Well, Kirk Ferentz has had a good thing about timing, right? I mean, it seems like each time one of those waves starts to build, he has a really great season. And kind of knocks everybody back a little bit. And also think, I just feel like fans here are more realistic. I do. I think they understand.
More realistic than Nebraska?
Yes.
Well, yeah, look who you're comparing to. These are the most delusional fans maybe in the history of the sports world.
Okay, so kind of a needless comparison there. But overall, I think they're pretty realistic. I mean, I've heard many times Iowa fans point out how difficult this job is.
That's good. That's good, because it is. It is.
To recruit to this state, to win in this state.
Yes.
And also point to, as he is there longer, they've become more accustomed to complimenting the other things about Kirk Ferentz.
Yes, because we
don't get with other coaches.
We've seen scandals and violations at
scandals
other
and problems and guys that get really, really surly to deal with and just aren't nice guys anymore. They, you know, all the donations, of course, the Ferentz family has made, all the ties to that school.
Yeah, the delusion with some Nebraska fans, just to be clear here, and hey, we have friends who are Nebraska fans, and not all are delusional. When we think of delusional Nebraska fan, that's the fan that keeps thinking it's going back to national championships every year, every other year, like it was in the 90s and the turn of the century. That's what I mean by delusional. You don't have to tell me that Scott Frost is going to win again. He is. I do think Nebraska is going to get good again. The delusional fans are the ones who think it's going back to a run of national championships. That's not going to happen. And you keep changing coaches because they can't make it happen. And Scott Frost won't make that happen either. That doesn't mean you can't hope for that, but those who are expecting it, those fans are delusional.
They're going to continue to knock coaches out and make it difficult over there.
Right, because it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. They don't understand that that was just that was a fluky period.
As windy as advertised in Iowa City Saturday, 45-mile-an-hour wind gust, and Iowa, it should be noted, the coaching staff deserves compliments. This was the perfect game plan for that kind of weather, and it was well executed. Dominate the line of scrimmage, keep Maryland from running the football, make the Terps try to pass. On offense, run the ball, pass enough to keep Maryland honest. It all worked, and it was a dominating win, 23-0. Never in doubt. Maryland passed on offense. Maryland passed midfield twice. This is a team that put up 34 points on Texas.
It was a chokehold.
Yeah, it was no doubt.
It was a perfect game plan, and I think it showed. It was such a difference from the previous week with the six touchdown passes, 300-yard passing game, that it really led you coming away thinking, wow, this is an Iowa team that can control a game in a few different ways.
This is a team that's really
several
good.
Ways.
Yeah, because not playing down to the competition. Like you see with some Iowa teams, like last year, just out of nowhere, you get that homecoming loss to Purdue, where Purdue just dominates Iowa. Or there are moments like that once in a while. This team is not playing down to the competition.
Northwestern game that just didn't look like Iowa got off the bus.
Yeah. So far, the team has played well. Now, the team has played hard. They've not had to worry about emotionally being there. Blew it against Wisconsin. We said at the time, and nothing's changed my mind, Iowa looked like the better team, but Wisconsin made the plays and Iowa made the mistakes. So they have to live with that, and it's getting harder to live with for some Hawk fans. Let's go to the game rewind for the Hawkeyes. The windy conditions played a factor early as Iowa ran on seven plays. And the first time Nate Stanley looked downfield, this happened.
Stanley going to throw here, though. Good protection. Now he steps up in the pocket and throws an interception. Picked off at the 19. Maryland with its 13th interception of the year. Again, indecisive was Nate Stanley.
That's Gary Dolphin on the Hawkeye Network. And that was cause for concern early, but then Stanley really settled down and didn't force the ball the rest of the game. Just was so far removed, as you said, from what he had done just the previous week. But in these conditions, you can't throw for 300 yards and six touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know how much the wind was to blame, but yeah, this was not a great game for Stanley. Now, I feel like those interceptions, that we see one of those a game, so maybe you can see that and not get all hung up on that and think that he'll rally.
Long as just one, should be okay.
And he did say kind of after that, he realized, okay, this wind is a little more of a force than he thought, and he wasn't going to, as you said, force anything the rest of the game.
Well, he's so big, too, that I'm sure he thinks, even with the wind, I can throw it right through this wind, but man, that wind was something. Iowa's defense was stifling. Maryland only ran two plays on Iowa's side of the field, both in the second quarter, and one of them was this.
Hill back to pass again. Plenty of time. Throws. Picked off. Amani Hooker's going the other way. 40-45 yard line and out of bounds there.
Off the interception, Iowa drove into the red zone for a third time, but the Hawkeyes did not settle for a third field goal.
Off his right shoulder pad is Ivory Kelly Martin. They show blitz. Stanley lobs it to the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown, I think. Brandon Smith one-armed it. It's got to be holding or pass interference, but I think he caught the football.
Yeah, it looked to me like he caught it.
What a great catch.
Was a great
catch. It seems like one-handed catches are becoming so common in football that we're headed toward the zero-handed catch.
He caught it with his face mask.
I don't know where they'll catch it, but
caught it with his feet.
Like under his arm.
Like Jarvis Landry's performance in Hard Knocks, where he's just balls thrown or coming out of that machine just like bullets, and he's just snaring them with one hand. Either hand.
Two things have happened. One is they practice these catches all the time, mm-hmm. and they're getting really good at them. The other is these gloves.
Gloves are great.
If you've ever put a pair on.
Oh, they are sticky.
They're a big difference.
Tacky,
maker.
I guess.
Tacky is the right word. Yeah, the modern day stick 'em, though, like the players used to wear, because my kids bought these gloves just because they like to go outside and throw the football around and do these one-handed catches.
Right.
And it is easier with the gloves. I mean, it's a big difference.
So the
with
no-handed
those
catch,
it's
will there be
tough.
A glove for that? I mean, it's like some panel you put on your body.
Like elbow gloves or feet gloves?
Stomach glove?
I don't know. That wouldn't surprise me. It's 13-0 halftime Hawks. And it already felt over because Maryland could not move the football. In the third quarter, Iowa's defense put it away.
Second down 10. Maryland backed up to its own 10. Owen Hill kicks the ball into the end zone after his man ran into him. And the Hawks are on it. It's a touchdown. Touchdown, Iowa. Kasim Hill whirled around to hand the ball off to another guy in motion. And the guy ran into him, and that forced the ball out of his hands. It landed on his shoe, and when he went to reach for it, he booted it into the end zone, where Anthony Nelson fell on it for a touchdown, Iowa. How about that? We've seen everything, buddy boy.
Touchdown, Iowa.
Ed Podolak and Gary Dolph. And Dolph really explaining all that because he is on the radio, and it was a little difficult to follow what happened there, but it was kind of a botched handoff, ball squirted away. And then Anthony Nelson.
Keystone Cops moment.
Yeah, he's like a 6'10 with those long arms, and he scores a touchdown. It's over at that point. 23-0 the final. Iowa moves to 6-1, number 18 in the nation. Three wins in a row, bowl eligible. The Hawkeyes look good. We'll find out in the next couple of weeks. Kirk Ferentz praised his team's preparation.
Just overall really happy with our team's performance today. I think, you play a team like Maryland, they pose some really unique challenges for us. And I thought, you factor in the conditions on top of it, I thought our guys really did a good job of being focused, doing the things that they had to do to be successful. And, overall, just a really good day. I thought our effort was good out there on the field. But I think maybe bigger picture, the week's preparation was really good. Thought the guys were on top of things the way they need to be. And then it's really been a trend with these guys over the last 7-8 weeks. They've shown up every week and did their best to get ready for the game. And they show up and compete. So happy about that.
We have felt like each time we talked to Kirk Ferentz, including before the season, that he really thought he had a good team here and that he liked the chemistry of the team. We need to do like a Ferentz mood tracker each year, because I feel like even though he might not say anything obvious, if you really listen to him, you can usually tell what he thinks of the team. And he's liked this team from from training camp. And it looks at this point, this team looks better than the undefeated team 3 years ago, right?
I don't know. It's hard to look back and compare.
They were
undefeated then. I mean, I'm sure they were feeling really good, and they had a really favorable schedule, more favorable than this year. I mean, they were coming off a bad year, or a bad ending to the year before. So he's probably feeling good just because he didn't have any recovery time. He was already feeling much better when this started, but I don't know. I know that you look ahead at this, the rest of this season, and you have to feel, there are some real challenges ahead of them, but you have to feel like Iowa can win out.
I do feel that way.
Like they will, or that they can't?
I wouldn't say will.
I feel like everybody should think that they can.
They, for sure.
That's a really good feeling to have.
I think, especially with the updated weather forecast for Happy Valley, which is snow, maybe turning to rain Saturday, to me, that's good for Iowa with this defense. Mm-hmm. I think they will beat Penn State. Purdue's tough. The schedule suddenly looks so much harder. I mean, Purdue mm-hmm. just...
Yeah, Purdue really made a name for itself this week.
Purdue is going and has been ramping mm-hmm. up to this for a few weeks now. Didn't just beat Ohio State, really clobbered the Buckeyes. Northwestern is on a conference roll here dating back all the way to last season. They've been winning a lot mm-hmm. Of games.
But early in the season, I think you looked at this schedule and you thought, okay, Penn State is definitely a loss. Didn't seem like anybody was entertaining the idea that they would go there and win. Purdue was kind of an iffy thing, and I think a lot of people thought that Northwestern was going to be a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think you're thinking that Northwestern is probably a win. Purdue will be a real challenge.
It's at Purdue.
But that Penn State is a winnable game.
Yeah, the Nittany Lions had to come from behind to beat Indiana. And you can't always...
They've been up and down.
Just compare, well, Iowa, you know, crushed Indiana, so therefore that makes Iowa better than Penn State. We know football doesn't work that way. What's that called? The transitive property that doesn't... It's the Hayden Fry method. But Iowa, the Lions are now favored by 6. That seems like a lot, but... It will move.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa does not, I don't know, that's the thing. I mean, you're comparing eras and eras here, but Kirk Ferentz teams against a good, experienced, mobile quarterback, that's a tough assignment. I don't care how good your defense is.
Quarterback's good.
Trace McSorley's good.
Yeah.
He can really run. Penn State's been, you know, kind of up and down this year. I don't know. Iowa's defense is playing really well, and it seems like that with the tight ends they bring in there and a good enough running game. That's if they just play their game and don't get flashy and have a more than one turnover. I feel like you almost have to count on one turnover.
I know
one turnover. Then I feel like they should. I feel like they should win.
I'm really impressed by this Hawkeye team. I know last night John Sears made the smart pick. Probably he said 2-1 in these next three games. I said 3-0. I feel like they've got it going, and they're going to keep it going.
Well, it kind of all starts with the one. You get the one, and then the other two look a whole lot better. But it's tough, man. It's tough winning three games. And Ooh. Purdue feels like it is a player now.
For sure.
I feel like they've turned a corner.
AD, how you feeling?
I feel good. I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. I'm not letting... Let's get through this week. And then ask me on Monday. If Iowa wins on Saturday, then it's, you know, Indy bound. And, you know, all depends on who's on the other side and college football playoff. Like, I start feeling like 2015 all over again. But let's get... This week has been scheduled on the calendar for a while now. Let's get through this one and then see.
Now, this is interesting. ESPN's computer that goes through these games. ESPN's computer... has Iowa losing one more game this season, but still winning the Big Ten West and going to Indianapolis because the computer sees Wisconsin mm-hmm. losing two more games.
They have a much tougher schedule this year.
So they have Wisconsin finishing at 6-3 in the conference. So
definitely see that happen.
Yep, could happen. It'll be fun to watch. When we return, the 3-point play from the Chicken Coop in West Des Moines, $25 gift card to the person who completes the 3-point play, and more on Purdue embarrassing Ohio State.
For three. He'll fire another long three. Good again! For three more. Yes!
Take a shot at the 3-point play.
Time for the 3-point play. Let's get it going with Todd. Todd, name the sports voice.
He just takes this offense to the next level. And so I can throw a check down to him and he can break three tackles and get in the end zone. I mean, he truly is a special player who I believe doesn't get as much hype as I think he should.
Todd, who is that?
Patrick Mahomes.
God, he was so good again last night. He's just a blast to watch. Chiefs ever get a defense, and they'll move to favorite to win the Super Bowl. It is Patrick Mahomes. Nicely done. Name this singer. Todd, who is that?
Sorry to say I know that. It's Katy Perry.
That's all right. Katy Perry, pop star, makes some catchy songs. Is it left shark or right shark? Which one got famous?
I think Left Shark.
It was Left Shark that got famous. Name this movie.
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
And what do they call it?
They call it a Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Todd, this was Andy's favorite movie a couple of weeks ago when we picked our favorite movie of all time. What is the movie?
You know, it's my favorite movie, and I can't think of the name. Hold on. I got it. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I can't think of it.
All right, Todd. Man, that's going to drive you crazy. Yeah. And I think what's most fascinating about that, and this is just how the brain can cramp, he said it's his favorite movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
He probably that just got it like right now. He's like in his car yelling.
Bob is celebrating his steal here, I'm sure. Bob, do you know the movie?
I can give you the director, the stars, but I can't give you...
Wow. Really?
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, man. Okay.
Jackson.
John Travolta. Sorry, Bob. Man, this is... I've never had this happen before. John, can you... can you name the art director, but not the movie?
I feel bad from taking it from those guys, but it's Pulp Fiction.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Making themselves.
Andy, what is about Monday? Is just the brain's a little slow out of the gate?
A little foggy. Yeah, a little foggy. You need a little warm-up.
Man, gosh, I guess so. Speaking of little foggy and getting it going. So Jerry Ann was in last week, last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
She's in at night, which I never see her because our paths just don't cross over at the television station. So she's in working the late shows, and she had like all kinds of questions about the radio show, and said, you know, several times, I really need to start listening to that. Yeah, I need to start listening. And so I said, yeah, I hope you will. We're always looking for new listeners. Oh, you're always welcome. And then she said something
funny
like,
she didn't just ask me those questions.
Yeah, and then she said, I went in there once, and Andy had me do this stupid game that I had no idea what was going on, and I didn't enjoy it, and I don't want that to happen again. So was that Guess Whose Birthday? Do you guys remember what it was?
Because
you know how Jerry Ann is quite blunt with...
I bet it was because you probably had her and Brooke
and they played against each other. Yeah, they did. Yeah. It was probably Guess Whose Birthday.
And Guess Whose Birthday is always easiest with you guys because I know you guys. I know your frame of reference. I know your age. You know, I know the things that you do and don't know. So I can cater it a little bit. But
some people don't want you to do that either. They want you to pick ones where we look stupid.
Yeah, like the famous YouTube guy who none of us has ever heard of.
Right.
But like, especially people I don't know all that well. It's like, well, so Jerry Ann's about this old. She should have some sort. But then, I didn't listen to music when I was in high school.
Oh, there you go, man. All right. Well,
didn't like it. Wasn't a fan.
Yeah, and since it's Jerry Ann. She might have actually had a good time. It's just, you know, the way she delivers lines like that sometimes make you feel like, God, it just sounds like you just had a terrible experience at our radio
show. She does things for effect.
Yeah.
She likes shock value a lot.
That's a better way.
She's a shocker.
It. Yeah. There you go. She should have her own show, I guess, then. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. As mentioned, Purdue ran away from the Ohio State University.
More in motion. They get it to him. More in space. A burst of speed. A first down for Purdue. He's still going. Moore cuts back. Touchdown.
That was an incredible highlight.
Yes, it was.
And that led to the Urban Meyer hands on the head, this year's version of eating out of the pizza box on the golf cart like he did over in Iowa City last year. I think a lot of people were happy to see this loss for Ohio State. And it's not that I didn't think Urban Meyer would lose his job, and I don't even know that he should have, but I don't think Ohio State should have a perfect season after you had all those smart people acting that dumb. Like that investigation, some of its findings where they were just playing dumb, like they went out of their way to try to make it seem like Urban Meyer had done nothing wrong. They just play dumb, and they're too smart to play dumb. You can't do that and then have a perfect season and win the national championship. So I for one, was happy to see Purdue win. I think there's some poetic justice in this, not that it had anything to do with the outcome of this game, but Ohio State looked a mess.
Yeah, and you wonder if the all the shenanigans in the offseason had anything to do with that, but they had the loss at Iowa last year, which was so
right.
crazy, out of character, looked just was so shocking. Maybe this is just this version, this season version of that. But yeah, I was glad to see it too, because watching their win at Penn State, you know, if you watch the second half of that game, specifically the fourth quarter, that team looked like it was not going to lose. Like it was going to be in the national championship game and maybe win it. I mean, they looked really, really good.
The talent was all on display.
All over the
place. 4 and 5 stars all over the field.
Yeah, incredible. Because Penn State was winning that game. They should have felt like they were going to win that game. Did feel like they were going to win that game at home. And Ohio State just took that game over. So, you know, I watched that game and I'm like, well, it doesn't matter what happens to Iowa in the West. They're going to go and meet Ohio State in the championship game and they're going to get killed. I don't care about last year. They're going to get killed. This team is too good. Because you've seen Ohio State with teams like that. Loaded with NFL talent. They're just too good for everybody else in the Big Ten. But seeing this over the weekend, that made me really feel like, okay, well, not only is Iowa's schedule lined up for them, but the game after that is a potential on the board for them too.
Right. Right.
I think there's a very good chance Ohio State does come back and gets into the championship game. They face Michigan.
Yeah, could come down to down, Ohio right. State
come
and,
down to that
Michigan.
Game. Yep.
And I think that the computer that I referenced in the last segment that has Iowa representing the Big Ten West at ESPN, the computer, it has Ohio State still getting to the championship game after the game with Michigan. Michigan beat Michigan State, so that's one that Jim Harbaugh has off his back, winning that game.
But he still has to go to Columbus for this game.
Yeah, and Ohio State still has more talent than Michigan.
Yeah, they may switch quarterbacks three times by then.
Yeah, they could. They could. And Iowa's schedule, as we mentioned, suddenly looks harder. Penn State, Purdue, Northwestern, all in a row. We have a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas across the Murph and Andy Show platforms.
Which is the greater effect of Purdue's upset of Ohio State? That Purdue looks tougher or the Big Ten looks more winnable?
For me, it's Purdue looks tougher, but you know it's a little bit of both, of course. I mean, the Big Ten does look more winnable. I mean, Iowa, for one, is looking like a team that on a given Saturday could beat any team in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. including Ohio State or Michigan. But the takeaway for me is that Purdue looked really good, and they've been on this trajectory a little bit mm-hmm. for a month.
We saw them last year. Obviously, we all remember what they did last year. But, yeah, it's definitely both, and it's definitely – I mean, you got more respect for Purdue watching that game, no doubt about it. But for me – I kind of explained myself and my, mm-hmm. my thinking there. I think the greater effect it had on me was that it suddenly made the Big Ten look more winnable for Iowa.
I can see that.
Because Ohio State is beatable. I mean, flat out. You can meet them in the championship game if you're Iowa and think, beat them last year out of nowhere, and they lost to Purdue, and we went to Purdue. Let's say Iowa goes to Purdue and wins. You can say we did that same thing. We played in that same stadium. We won. And we can beat Ohio State.
Football's
a good argument, though.
Football Scoop has a story today about the growing rift between Ohio State Athletics Director Gene Smith, who was once had the same position at Iowa State, mm-hmm. and Urban Meyer. And I don't think there's any surprise there. I mean, that investigation, you learned in that investigation that Ohio State did that Urban Meyer had asked, had recommended to Urban Meyer that he make a change at the assistant coaching position, and Meyer had just ignored mm-hmm. Gene Smith's advice, which was good advice in this case. And then also you learned that Meyer did not say anything to Gene Smith when that assistant coach, when the allegations of abuse were brought up. He didn't say anything about the Florida incident, which is information your boss could really use and really needs, and Meyer kept him from that. So why
doesn't want to be surprised by?
Yeah, why would Gene Smith trust him at this point? And then, but you're Gene Smith, and you know football pays the bills, and you know you have fans that want to win and expect national championships and Big Ten titles every year, mm-hmm. and you put up with all of that as long as you're winning, and until this weekend. You're winning, even when Urban Meyer is suspended, you're winning. But now you go and you get the crap beat out of you by Purdue, and the story says the rift is, the gulf between the two has only grown since that game. I don't know how they could know that in 24 hours or 48 hours time, but that's getting some national attention that Meyer and Smith are not on the same page.
Well, it's too bad that Gene Smith won't have a job after this year, then.
Because Meyer's calling the shots?
Hell yes. They're not going to ditch Gene. They're not going to ditch Urban Meyer for Gene Smith.
What if they lose again? This is two straight years where they've had inexplicable loss.
If they lose again, anything could happen. But, I mean, if he keeps on winning, even still, I mean, where are you going from Urban Meyer if you're Ohio State? I mean, I know that a lot of people like Matt Campbell there or what, you know, whatever. I don't know that they do or not. I mean, we hear that here.
The media has brought that up.
That is until Matt Campbell can win a national title. Those people there think of that as an enormous step down.
You think they do? Yeah.
Yes.
But they see the potential, right? He's 5-2 against the top 25 the past two seasons.
Ohio State, I don't think, has to look for potential. They are one of the big two programs in the country. You are proven before you get there, I think. They expect you to be.
Well, they have one loss, and it seems like the sky is falling.
Oh, I know.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the perspective
exactly.
Right there. Yep, that is the perspective.
I mean, there's Nick Saban and there's Urban Meyer.
We have some good prizes on this show. We're appreciative of that and appreciative of all our sponsors that make these prizes possible and also make the show possible. So shout out to them. Please support the people who support the Murph and Andy Show, and they bring it to you for free, which we all appreciate. We have a $20 gift card to Wingstop, and also the winner of the $25 gift card will be registered for a grand prize, which is, this is a good prize, airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Iowa State at Texas game November 17th. So the winner now will get a $20 gift card. Don't call, by the way. I see some of you are calling. You get the gift card, and then you're registered for this grand prize, which is just a great trip to the Iowa State Texas game. This is how you win. The first caller who can explain why Seneca Wallace was mentioned on Sound Off last night. First caller who can mention that can tell us why Seneca Wallace was mentioned on Sound Off last night wins that $20 gift card and is registered. That dropped off every single call right there. All right. Why aren't you watching Sound Off? Come on, join us. $20 gift card to the Wingstop, and you're registered for that grand prize. That's a nice prize, Andy.
If you're an Iowa State fan, it is.
If you're an Iowa fan, you even register for this? Do you try to win and then give it to a friend? That'd be a nice prize, right? Airfare?
Sure.
Airfare, hotel, tickets?
Yeah, but you got to tell them why Seneca Wallace was mentioned on Sound Off last night. If you're a Hawkeye fan, you probably weren't paying attention to that.
All right, AD, you want to put somebody on? Get some guesses here. I mean, I would assume nobody would call
there
at this point.
There could be some funny guesses to this. Somebody's going to be like, well, I don't know.
The Run?
Yeah.
Oh, they're about to play Texas Tech.
Ah, is that why it was mentioned?
That could be a good guess, right?
Or
that
just
could be
a good somebody guess. Said, well, I don't know, a Cyclone fan probably called in, and they don't ever have a conversation about football without mentioning Seneca Wallace.
All right, their lines are full here. Let's see if Ryan knows. Ryan, why did Seneca Wallace come up on Sound Off last night?
Yeah, John Sears was talking about the amazing quarterback situation at the Bills, and he suggested Seneca Wallace could come out of retirement.
Exactly right. Ryan, you win the $20 gift card to Seneca Wallace's Wingstop, and you will be registered for the grand prize to go to that Iowa State-Texas game. Are you a Cyclone fan that would use this prize yourself if you win the grand prize?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Okay, thank you, Ryan. And for those of you who weren't watching, and Andy, you'll talk about it afterwards, but just Sears' absolute disproportionate anger over Nathan Peterman having a job in the NFL for the Bills. It's out of control, but he's just so worked up about it.
Are you telling me in the entire world there is no quarterback available better than Peterman? The Bills brought a guy out of mothballs just to avoid playing Peterman. Derek Anderson was horrendous, threw three picks, and they still didn't put Peterman in the game. If Colin Kaepernick wins his collusion case, it's because Nate Peterman has a job. Jay Peterman would play better while wearing Italian cap-toe Oxfords, sophisticated yet different, rich dark brown calfskin leather, matching leather vest. Heck, Seneca Wallace is elbow deep in Wingstop sauce, but he'd run circles around the Peterman. Sage Rosenfels hasn't put on a uniform in 7 years, but I guarantee you the Rage can still sling it better. Hell, get Chuck Long off the BTN set and in a Bills uniform, it won't be worse. And Chuck's 55 years old. Peterman is the worst Buffalo Bill of all time. And OJ murdered two people, allegedly. Look, I'm sure Peterman is a lovely guy. So is Ed Wilson. Neither belongs in the NFL.
This is too much, isn't it? I mean, Nathan Peterman's out there doing the best he can.
He's not.
Well, he's not now.
He's not out there.
He's benched now. Gosh, they gave him a shot twice, and both times, one time he threw five picks in one half, got benched. They gave him another shot, and he threw two pick sixes in like one quarter. He probably is the worst NFL quarterback of all time.
I did not see that game, so I have no idea.
Yeah, and he was...
Josh Allen's hurt still?
Yes.
Is he out for a long time?
So they just last week got like Derek Anderson off some scrap heap of retirement.
Browns quarterback?
Yeah, and he came in. They moved him straight to the front of the line because the coach felt like, by all reports, that if he put Peterman back out there, he'd lose the locker room. Because every time Peterman
is
played,
even on the team?
Now you're with John on this. Yeah, why is he on the team? That's the question. That's a question that that John can't solve. And Peterman could come up in the collusion case. Last night on Sound Off, we also had our weekly game of knockout where one thing has to go.
This was tough.
It was tough. It's candy bars for Halloween. Twix, Snickers, Reese's, or Kit Kat.
Okay, Twix, Snickers,
Reese's, or Kit Kat. 3,000 votes, and I'm with the people on this one. It was a relatively close vote, but of those four, I think you got to knock out Kit Kat.
Is Reese's a candy bar?
It's candy. Said candy. Said chocolate candy. Chocolate based candy.
Didn't say candy bar. Okay.
Did not say
bar. I thought
we
had another hot dog as a sandwich potential.
No, it's a good that's reasonable, but no.
I would call it a candy bar. By the way,
you would?
Yeah.
It's not
it's a
bar.
Candy circle.
It's not a bar.
It comes in a bar form with two of them.
Yeah, but that's really just a big...
can you put a poll out right now?
It's a big mirage.
Is Reese's a candy bar?
Are Reese's peanut butter cups a candy bar?
So would a sleeve of Hershey's Kisses be a candy bar then?
No. Would Twix be a bar? There's several bars.
Yeah, that's a bar.
Or Kit Kat, rather.
Yeah, it's a bar.
Kit Kat.
Break it apart. Yeah, it's a bar.
But they're side by side. It's like a picket fence.
It's a bar. That's a pure bar.
All right, I'm going to say Reese's is not a candy bar. Would you say it's a candy bar?
I mean, it's in the candy bar section.
It is.
Where else would you look for it? You don't.
But can something be candy without it's chocolate candy, but it's not a bar, right? You're right.
Definitely not a bar. It's got that little extra wrapper.
But what do you? But back to the point here. What do you knock out? You knock out the Kit Kat, right?
What do I like better? Oh man. What do I pick? I mean, the Reese's tastes the best.
I'm ranking Reese's number one.
Those go too quickly.
Reese's one, Twix two, Snickers three, Kit Kat four.
I think I go, if you're offering me which one I just think is going to taste best, and that's all I care about, like I'm not trying to fill myself up, give myself a real snack, I'm picking the peanut butter cups.
Every time.
But then I'm going with the Snickers. And if I'm slightly hungry and I want to feel less hungry, I always pick the Snickers first.
Snickers is more filling. Snickers is more filling.
Snickers satisfies.
Yeah, it does.
Has for years.
Twix is good. Really
That's
good.
Really damn good.
It's got that caramel coating that takes it next level.
I think Kit Kat is last, and so therefore I agree with the overall vote in the knockout panel. Kit Kats are damn good, though. I'm not kicking those out of bed.
Okay, well, good. I'd like to hear what you have going on. This week, we switched to We switched to candies that are not chocolate based. So for Halloween, what do you have? You have Sweet Tarts? Nerds?
No, those are Willy Wonka lightweights there.
What would it be? What do you have? What comes to
like
top
my
of mind?
Favorite Halloween candy?
No, just candies that aren't chocolate based, like
Sour Patch Kids. For okay. Sure, those are freaking awesome.
That's one. Sweet Tarts has to be in there, right?
No. I like Spree more than Sweet Tarts, and I like Bottle Caps more than Spree.
Bottle Caps? What? Those are great. Yeah, but that's like a 1970s candy. Do they sell bottle caps?
They're alive and kicking. Yeah, it's Willy Wonka. He's a madman. He doesn't abandon some good. I like Gobstoppers a lot. I used to like Runts until he started getting all fancy with the flavors that ruined them. Mango Runts. Give me a break. Nobody wants mango candy. Give me the cherry, strawberry. I always threw out the bananas, but lime and orange. Those were the classic Runts. And now they're all nuts with grape and apple. Who wants apple candy? What happened to where did this apple wave come from?
Do you hear how passionate he is about
saying you can do the rant next week?
I love the Willy Wonka.
I haven't heard anybody this worked up since John Sears and Nathan Peterman.
Well, you should get him worked up about candy because he cares a lot more about that than the Bills.
I know.
He loves candy.
That's what didn't make sense to me. Throwdowns coming up next on the Murph and Andy Show.
Don't let me throw it down. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down. Murph, World Series Game 1 is tomorrow night in Boston where the Red Sox host the Dodgers. Who would you like to see win it all?
I would like to see the Red Sox win it all. Love this series, at least historically. Dodgers and Red Sox meeting for the first time with the Dodgers being L.A. They did meet in 1916 when Babe Ruth played for the Red Sox, and the Dodgers weren't even Brooklyn yet at that time. But yeah, I'd like to see the Red Sox win this. Most importantly, I'd like to see a 7-game series and maybe see baseball get some attention back here. It's just really hard to get baseball notice, but got both coasts playing, big markets, two of the three biggest payrolls in sports, which is a little discouraging to some teams, but this one's pretty good.
I truly do not care. I have no allegiance to either one of these teams. I'm always more of a National League guy, though, so I guess I'll throw my hat in the Dodgers ring. So these are both ultimate haves teams that spend so much more than the rest of the league. They can hang on to their prospects, acquire the biggest name free agents, just stack payrolls on top of the others. And the other, you'd think they'd win every year. It's harder than that, but the rest of the league just struggles to keep up with these franchises, and I don't care.
Andy, after beating Conor McGregor a few weeks ago, Khabib Nurmagomedov is one of the biggest names in the UFC, easy for me to say. And Floyd Mayweather wants to capitalize on that with a boxing match. He says it's going to happen. Dana White says it won't. Khabib's manager actually came out today and said, yeah, this will happen. Would you pay to see Mayweather Khabib?
No, I wouldn't. I think the fanfare and just sort of the never have seen that before fascination aspect are what helped me get interested in the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight. Having seen that, I see how hopelessly outmatched a UFC fighter is in the boxing ring against Floyd Mayweather. If it turns around and Mayweather is going to get into the octagon with either one of these guys, yeah, I would consider paying to see that just to see him get throttled. But this is a been there, done that, and they're doing that this time around with a far less interesting character.
I wouldn't pay to see this either. It's not out of the question that if it were on somewhere where I am, I would watch it. But I definitely would not seek out watching this. I mean, Conor McGregor is what sold that previous fight. I mean, he's the personality that sold it. He would not be involved in this. And unless Khabib can put Mayweather on the ground and wrestle him and choke him out, I just don't see how he would have any chance here, even with Mayweather now being well into his 60s.
Murph, tomorrow's my wife's 30th birthday, which is one of those milestone birthdays that some people have a tough time with. You have both hit some other milestones beyond 30.
Several.
What was the hardest birthday for you to swallow?
I would say that none have been hard. I mean, I don't think of it that way, like, oh my gosh. But I would say the one time that I took a step back was turning 50, because that just sounds old to me. And I can remember being young and like hearing somebody was in their 50s and just thinking that they, you know, were had an old gray beard and needed to head to the retirement home. I don't feel like that at all, but that's the first time the age was like, wow, that's kind of old. So that's the only time I've really noticed.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I had more trouble with the early 30s birthdays than anything else, just because it was really kind of clear I had put in some time on the earth at that point, when, you know, like 33, 34, and people like 34. And you're, you know, officially too old to be hanging around the 22-year-olds at all. I mean, you're officially older. But other than that, I think the worst one, if I had to pinpoint one year, the worst year, not that it was that bad, because they really aren't, but 39 was worse than 40, because you're almost 40. And when people hear 39, they pretty much hear 40. Right? And they're like, wow, last year to do this. Because people keep, they kind of feel bad for you. For 40, they pretend to be happy for you. But 39, they're still openly feeling bad for you that you're aging.
Yeah, I can tell 39 is not going to be fun for me. Because 31 was much harder than 30. Because, yeah, now I'm just in my 30s.
Every year,
I'm just a guy in my 30s.
29 is the last birthday you look forward to.
The poll's up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy.
Happy birthday, Judy. Trending Iowa, coming up next.